Did you ever wonder what those first disciples preached about when Jesus sent them out into the world? Normally, when we think about someone going out and proclaiming the gospel, we think about going out and proclaiming that Jesus suffered and died, was buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit upon his followers. But at this time, none of that had happened yet. So what were they going out and proclaiming? We don't know exactly, but I have a theory. We do know that they went out proclaiming the kingdom of God. So part of it is that they went out talking to people about what they expected Jesus to do. They were a little bit mistaken because they thought he was going to be some sort of political deliverer, that he was going to sort of release the Jewish people from the power of the Romans. Mistaken as they still were on track with the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. They were expecting a different kind of Messiah, but nevertheless, they knew he was the Messiah. He was the one that would save them. So they went out with great joy and enthusiasm because they had found the man who was going to set them free. I think, though, that there's probably another part, another element of their proclamation. And that had to do with their experience of Jesus that they had already had. They had found in Jesus someone who loved them unconditionally, someone who accepted them for who they were, warts and all. Failures, weaknesses, Jesus accepted them for who they were. And yet they also found in Jesus someone who called them to something higher. They found in Jesus someone who urged them and encouraged them to be the best human beings that they could possibly be. So I imagine that part of their zeal, part of their joy and their energy and excitement and enthusiasm about proclaiming the gospel was because they wanted other people to experience in Jesus what they had experienced. And this is a basic model for evangelization that's still true for us today. And we do it all the time in other departments. For example, you go and you find a new restaurant you've never eaten at before. You really like it. So you talk to your friends. Have you been to that place? They have great food, great service, low prices. You've got to go there. You've got to try it out. Or, have you seen this movie that recently came out? It is awesome. It's the best movie in a long time. You've got to go see it. Maybe it's even something like, did you see the deal they've got on hamburger at the grocery store? You've got to go and check this out. We do it all the time. We find things that bring us happiness or joy, and we want other people to get connected with that so that they can experience happiness and joy from it as well. But why is it that we can be so much more excited about a restaurant or a movie or saving 59 cents on hamburger than we are about our relationship with God and the experience that we have of God's love, God's acceptance of us, God's love in mercy and tenderness and his call upon us? Because we don't often go out with such zeal and joy and enthusiasm to bring people in contact with the Lord. I suspect that one of the reasons that those first disciples were so effective in their evangelization was that they brought this joy. And their joy came maybe not even so much from the prospect of salvation that Jesus offered, as it came from remembering what the Lord had done. Yes, they saw all these miracles and great things he had done, but more than that, they had such peace and joy in their hearts because of how Jesus loved them. We can look at ourselves and the way we live our day-to-day lives and ask the question, do I evangelize as much as the Lord would have me do? Do I bring people day after day into contact with the Lord who can bring them the joy that they thirst for? Do I live in the joy of the encounter with the Lord in such a way that it's infectious, that it draws people? And maybe if the answer to any of those questions is no, that we're not doing all that we could, perhaps part of the solution then is that we need to remember more. Remember what the Lord has done for us. I hope that every day, before we go to sleep, maybe even before our head hits the pillow, we'll see. I hope that every day we look back over the course of the day and identify all the things that God has done for us. And I hope that from time to time, maybe more frequently, we look back over the whole course of our life and identify and give thanks to God for all that God has done for us. Because it's in that remembering that we find joy. It's in that remembering that we are renewed in enthusiasm for looking forward to what God has in store for us. We didn't come here today to beat ourselves up about not evangelizing like we could. We didn't come here to beat ourselves up about not living in the fullness of Christian joy. We came here today to receive from this sacrament the grace we need to make a firm decision to do something about it.